Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. Good to see some new faces out in the crowd. I'm excited to bring the word of the Lord as always. Anytime I have the opportunity to share God's word, I always love to jump at the opportunity. But as I was in prayer, asking God what it is that He wants His people to hear about. To be honest with you, I've known I was going to preach on this day for some time, but I struggled with what it was that the Lord wanted His congregation to hear, because it's not something that I take lightly. Anytime anybody stands behind this podium and delivers God's word, it's not just so we can bump our gums. It's because God has something that He wants to say to you. So in prayer, I began to ask God, what is it that you want your people to hear? And I struggled with what it was, and I bounced back and forth from numerous things on what it was that I could share today, but finally concluded that God wanted me to talk to His congregation about trusting in Him, about trusting in God, because there are cycles and stages of our life that we happen to go through. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. Sometimes it's dark. And sometimes it's light. We all know in the times of light, it's really easy to trust God. When everything is looking up, it's really easy to put our hope and our faith and our trust and everything that we have towards God, because we say, yes, God is doing wonderful things in my life. But it's in the times of gloom, in the times of storms, in the times of trials, when it takes us to really dig deep and say, God, I know who You are. I know You have a plan for my life, and I trust in You. Trusting in God. That's what the Lord pressed on my heart to deliver to you today. Now, whether or not you're going through a bad time, whether or not you're going through a good time, the fact remains we always must trust in God. We always must always put our faith in Him and know that the things that He has for us is always good. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from a passage this morning that is very well known to most of us. For many, this is a favorite book of the Bible, and it'll be coming from the book of Romans. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to say that again. If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through Him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us
from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Let's pray over the Word of God.
God, once again, we pray this morning as we come before you, God, to hear your word. We pray that it pierces hearts this morning. Give us ears to hear your voice. Don't let this be just another Sunday morning sermon, Lord. Speak into our hearts. Your word says that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, we come before you to hear you this morning. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit gives me the words to speak for your people to hear. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
We are more than conquerors. The Bible says not only are we conquerors, we are more than conquerors. Again, we're talking about trusting in God. And according to what we just read in Romans, God has a plan for our life that was predestined beforehand. If you read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version, it says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do these good works, which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Isn't that something? That God prearranged our lives before we were even born, before we took a breath into this earth. Psalms 139:13 says, For you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. Think about that for a second, and it's a wonderful thing if you really put your mind to that. That when you were in your mother's womb, God knitted you together. God knows who you are. God knows the plan that he has for your life. Not always is that plan going to be easy. The Bible tells us in John that in this world you will have trouble. But what does it say? Fear not, for I have overcome the world. That's the beauty of it all. That's why we know when we come to Christ and we face trials and we face temptations and we face struggles, we know that we serve a God that has a plan for our life and we can trust in him. We can trust that the things that he has for our life are good. Not to mean that the things that we have in our life is always going to be easy. Sometimes we have to face trials and we have to face struggles. Why is it necessary? Because God is molding us. God is making us into the person that he needs us to be. If you look at Joseph, everybody remembers Joseph. He was the one with the coat of many colors that his father gave him. But what a journey Joseph went on before God's plan was fulfilled in Joseph's life. If you remember, Joseph's brothers betrayed him and threw him in a pit. This was not God's full plan for Joseph's life, to be betrayed and laid in a pit. It wasn't the full plan, but it was part of the plan. Joseph was sold into slavery, not God's full plan, but part of the plan. Joseph was thrown into jail. Again, not God's full plan. But because Joseph went through the things that he went through, he could look back and know where God brought him from. Somebody say amen. Because if you've ever faced a trial, if you've ever faced a temptation, a struggle, if the clouds just seem to never part and you never can see, but then one day you begin to see that light at the end of the tunnel, where you stand today, you look back and you know where God brought you from. What does that do? That makes you stronger. That's why in our hard times, we must lean into him. Why? Because it's in the time of our weakness that he is made strong. Amen? How do we trust God? In order to fully trust in God, it takes patience. It takes prayer. It takes reading God's word. It takes obedience. I can tell you a time of a struggle and a trial that I was facing. And I'll share with you an intimate part of my life that is so important to me, because it shows me every day, every time I face something, where God has brought me from to where I am today. It was during the time of the recession, and like many other people, I was laid off because the business I worked for sold out to another company, and many of us, almost all of us, were laid off. Work couldn't be found. It was scarce. Not that I wasn't looking. I was looking really hard. And as I was looking, I was praying, and I was believing God, and I was trusting God. I was saying, I don't understand why it is I have to go through this, but I'm trusting you. And I can remember very fully not having any money to my name. And my wife, Natalie, looks in the cupboards and all the food is gone. I struggled, but my faith and my trust in God remained, because I know that God is faithful. I said, God, I'm believing in you. I don't know where the food is going to come from, but I believe in you. I believe that the things that you have for me are good, and I believe that you will provide for me. Wouldn't you know it, within the hour after Natalie had said, we don't know what we're going to eat, there was a knock on the door. And at the door was a couple with bags of groceries. No idea that we were out of food. No idea of the situation that we were going through. But these people said, we just happened to feel like you guys could use some food, so we wanted to bring you some food. Now I can look back on that time when I faced troubles and know that God comes through for me every time. He does the same for you. Not that it's still not a struggle for me to put food on the table, because I do have so many children and three teenage boys that eats a whole lot. So if you guys want to, you know, donate to the sales cupboard fund, that would be... I'm just kidding. But God comes through every time. Natalie has to buy food so much that Siri thinks she works at Walmart. She'll get in and get notifications this far to work. But God's been good to us. God has brought us out of trials, brought us out of temptations and struggles, but it's not to say that we won't face them again. I'm not saying that any of you are going through a trial or a struggle right now. But God laid this message on my heart, and He wanted me to tell you that you need to fully put your trust in Him. Buckle up, because it might be something that God is preparing you for. God might be saying, I see where your path is going. This is the path I need you to go down. And when you go down this path, you'll be able to look back and say, I'm stronger because of that. Don't give up. Don't give in. Patience. When it comes to patience, this is one of the... I'm not blessed with patience. Whenever there is something that needs to be done, I immediately want to jump on it and begin doing that. But how many of you know that's not always the right route to take? It's killing me that these steps over here aren't done yet. Joe, it really is. It nags at me. You got to get those steps done. You got to get those steps done. Because I like to get things finished. I like to get things done. But a lot of times when we're going through things, it's going to take patience. It's going to take time in order for us to get through it. We have to wait on God in God's time. Patience. The Bible says, Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord, what will He do? He will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. These are God's promises for us. Patience takes prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without
ceasing.
Why is prayer so important? Why is it so important that we talk to God every day? Look at your own relationships. If you're married or you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, how well will that relationship grow if you're not communicating with one another? The same thing is with God. He wants to hear from you, and you have to talk to Him. Through prayer, we can see ourselves through God's eyes. We begin to see our flaws. We begin to see the things that God can work out. And most importantly, we find that we can get patience, that we can find trust through prayer, through communication with God. Of course, reading God's Word. Personally, I believe God still speaks to us today. It might be a still small voice. It might not ever be a verbal voice. I've never heard God speak out loud to me, but there's been impressions on my heart that I just knew was coming from God. But the best way that God can speak to us is through His Word. We must read our Word. Reading God's Word is how God will speak into our lives, how God will instill how we trust in Him. Lastly, obedience. Luke 11, verse 28. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. How would it be possible? How would it be possible for us to look to God to fulfill the promises that He has in our life if we're not obeying what He tells us to do? We have to obey God. When I think of men of the Bible who had to fully trust in God because of the promises and the plans that God had for them, I'm reminded, one, of Abraham. Isn't it something that early on in Abraham's life that God promised him that his offspring would be as many as the stars? But we all know what happened to Abraham. In his old age, while Sarah was barren, still had not had a child. But what happened? God gave him a child, because God can do anything. Thinking of Moses. And as the worship team comes, I want to read you something that is astonishing when we think about Moses and how he and the people wandered through the desert. The people that was with Moses, they had to be fed and feeding. The amount of people that was with Moses was huge. It would take a lot of food. According to the quartermaster general in the army, it is reported that Moses would have to have 1,500 tons of food each day. That would take two freight trains, each at least a mile long. Besides, you must remember they were out in the desert, so they would have to have firewood to use in cooking the food. This would take 4,000 tons of wood and a few more freight trains, each a mile long, just for one day. And just think, they were 40 years in transit. They would have to have water. If they only had enough to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons each day and freight train with tank cars, 1,800 miles long, just to bring water. They had to get across the Red Sea at night. Now, if they went on a narrow path, double file, the line would be 800 miles long and would require 35 days and nights to get through. So there had to be a space in the Red Sea 3 miles wide so that they could walk 5,000 abreast to get over in one night. But then there's another problem. Each time they camped at the end of the day, a campground 2/3 the size of the state of Rhode Island was required.
or a total of 750 square miles long. Do you think Moses figured out all this before he left Egypt?
That took a lot of trust. You don't see anywhere in the Bible where God told Moses to go lead his people. And you don't see anywhere in the Bible where God told it or where Moses told God, okay, but let's talk about this. One, how long are we going to be in the desert? There's going to be supplies that we're going to need. There's going to be water, wood, food. These are a lot of people that's going to be looking to me for guidance. Not once did you see Moses doubt. Because he trusted in God. Because he fully understood that God will provide. That's what I want to tell you this morning. That's what I want to get across to you. Is please understand that God is for you and not against you. God wants the best things in your life, but it's not always going to be easy. But don't give up on God. You have to understand who you are in Christ. And who Christ is in you. Let's worship.